So the title of my, what I'm sharing today is called Life Comes at You Fast. And it's about the unexpected season. And first thing I want to share is that years ago, we had this woman in our church, and she was a leader. Her husband was one of our elders. And we were very good friends, and their whole family, just a wonderful, wonderful family. Most of their extended family came to our church. And they were just such a blessing, the entire family. And they were with us for years. And then one day, their daughter, who was a married woman with four children, left her husband for another man. And my friend was very upset, of course. And she came to me and she said, "You know, you're just living your life and you're serving the Lord and everything's going fine. And then, bam, there's a train wreck." That's how she felt, that there had been a train wreck in her family. And she said, "What do you do? What can you do? Your life will never be the same. What can you be to prepare for such a moment?" Nothing. Nothing at all. But you know, I have found that that's not really true. There are things you can do to prepare, not maybe specifically for a specific situation, but there are things that you can do in general that will strengthen you so that when those train wrecks happen, you're better prepared. Okay? Now, for me personally, it's part of my nature that I've always been a planner, a list maker, an organizer. Sign language, organize. Okay? And I'd make lists, still do, for the tasks I want to get done every day. I made up menus for 3 weeks. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner, menus, rotating every 3 weeks. And then I'd make up grocery lists to go with each week. So every week when I went to the grocery store, all I had to do was pick up my week 2 grocery list, take it to the store. I had a planned rotation for my housework. Some things are done daily, some things are done weekly, some things are done monthly, some things are done yearly. And some of you are looking at me like I'm nuts right now, but it worked for me. And I used to work here at Alliance Christian School. I was one of the monitors, and April was the supervisor, and I assisted her for a couple of years. And then I was Kirk's secretary for a couple of years. And Kirk introduced me to the day timer. And I loved that thing. I loved the training that we took to learn to use the day timer. And I used it for many years. I still really do, except now my planner is electronic. It's not on paper. I remember one time we were at a ladies' conference and I was sitting with April, who was the most fun person to sit with. And Carol Benjamin was speaking. And April and I had our day timers on the table, and we were taking notes. And Carol started talking about how some people are obsessed with their day timers. And so April and I very sheepishly pulled our day timers down and put them into our laps. Remember that? So all those years ago, I started leading Bible studies. My first one was on Wednesdays at lunchtime at Rose Prince's house. How many of you know Rose? Okay, we called ourselves the Lunch Bunch, and I loved it. I love studying the Bible. I love teaching it, and I love sharing with others. So we all shared together, and we gained insight from one another, just like we have here at this retreat. Whenever I taught, I prepared very well. I used lots of scripture. I always wanted to be uber prepared because I didn't want to say anything wrong or lead anybody in a wrong way. And then Mike was ordained, and he and I were set out to start our church in East Liverpool, and I started homeschooling my kids. So again, I'm a planner, I'm an organizer. So I had a daily routine. I got up at 6 o'clock, an hour before anybody else in my house, just so I could spend time alone with Jesus before I started my day. And that was very important to me. And then I woke everybody up at 7, some more willingly than others. And we all did our separate morning routines. We had chores to do. We had to brush our teeth. We had to get dressed. We had, you know, whatever, day, preparation for the day. And everything had to be done by 8 o'clock. Because heaven forbid that anybody would be late for breakfast, which was served at 8. And heaven forbid that we would ever not start school by 9 o'clock. Because Mama would not be happy if we didn't start at 9 sharp. And we used the same curriculum, homeschooling, that we used here. It was ACE curriculum, and it fed right into all my organizational skills because we set goals every day and accomplished goals every day. Remember? I loved it. And I began writing and teaching even more. And again, I always wanted to be very prepared. I started to write curriculum for our church. I did a lot of teaching and I loved it. Then, one spring, Mike and I went to a conference in Sarasota. And there were ministers there from all over the world. This was the group, it's called Harvest Preparation. This is the group that Mike traveled with all over the world. Went to Mexico, Ghana, G-H-A-N-A, Ghana, all over the place he went with them. And Mike had already traveled to Kenya several times. But this time, for the first time, I was planning to go with him. And I was very nervous because I knew I would be teaching there, teaching women there. So at that conference, there was a pastor who had a word from the Lord for me. And here's what he said. Do not worry about what you are to speak, because you are the message. Wow, did that change my life? Changed my whole perspective. I love sign language for perspective, because it's like you change your perspective. I began to realize that nobody cared how much scripture I knew. Nobody cared how much I could quote. They wanted to know how knowing Jesus had impacted and changed my life. Now, the reason I'm telling you all this is to set up a backdrop and insight to my natural tendencies. Because I'm the kind of a person who wants to have control in my life. I want control over my circumstances. That's what planning, preparation, and organization are all about, after all. However, I'm also one who's had to face a lot of unexpected circumstances. And I'm sure you've all heard the old cliche, it's not what you know, it's who you know. And that is very, very true. If you know Jesus, it's that relationship that's going to see you through every time. No matter what you face, no matter what you face. And you can, in your everyday life, seek the Lord. Pursue his presence. Because his presence is what you are going to need when you face a crisis. So that's how you can prepare for the unexpected season. So I'm going to share a couple of my own experiences with you. First, there came a day when I had to find out the extent of my daughter's deafness, and I'll never forget it. The audiologist was very blunt, no compassion, no encouragement. He very bluntly said, "Your daughter is profoundly deaf. She will never this. She will never that. She will always this. She will always that. Very negative. Pharaoh was only 3 years old, and I was devastated. I cried all the way home, bargaining with God. Why? Why did it have to be her? Let me be deaf. I'll be deaf. Give her back her hearing. I had no idea what to do. When we got home, I got Pharaoh inside and I ran for my Bible, because I knew that's where my strength came from. Right? I opened it up and my eyes fell on a verse, Isaiah 49:11. I will make all my mountains a way. Isn't that great? I sat and I pondered that for a while. Just that one sentence, so full and rich with promise. You see, in that awful moment, God was reassuring me that this mountain that I was facing was His mountain, and that He would make a way. Not my way, His way. And He did. Many of you know my daughter, Farah. God was faithful to show me a way to move forward, faithful to open doors and build relationships and show direction, so that even to the point where, like, Farah was going to school. She started school at 3 years old, and she was in what they call an oral class. So they didn't teach sign language at that school. So she'd go to school every day, and she wasn't learning anything. You know how I taught her how to read? I taught her. I'm not even a teacher. I taught her how to read with phonics. Believe it or not. Anyway, beside the point. So there was that unexpected season. And then my next unexpected season was, just a few years later, my husband came home and informed me that he was in love with another woman and he wanted a divorce. My heart went boom on the ground. I didn't know what to do. I was devastated again. But I was part of a weekly prayer group, and they all gathered around me and prayed for me and bore me up during that whole ordeal. And this went on for months, this trial. And I prayed continually for my husband's repentance and his return. I really prayed. I really sought the Lord. And then months went by, and one night the Lord woke me up in the middle of the night. I was sound asleep. He woke me up, and He spoke to me. This is the first time I heard an audible voice from Him. He said, "You've done all you can do. Now stand." That's it. Now stand. There's so much more I could share about both those times, the Pharaoh being deaf and about my husband leaving me. But for the sake of time, I'm going to just say that this was a very, very hard time. But the Lord took this woman, this discarded woman, and He showed me that I had worth and that He had a plan for my life. So it was hard. It was a hard time, but it was a precious, precious time. The foundation of my relationship with Him. You see, I had no one else to rely on. My family lived far away. So I had to learn to rely on Him. And it's been the best thing in my life, just the best thing. My husband did not repent, and he did not return, so things did not work out the way I hoped. But the things I learned, the foundation that was laid during that time, has been the strength of my life from that day on. So, I've shared now two of my unfortunate, unexpected seasons. There have been more, But for the sake of time, I'm not going to share them all. The most recent one, of course, is last February, my husband died. Mike, my husband, many of you knew him. Every event in his last 10 days on this earth was a shock. Unexpected. One thing after another. The last night of his life, Mike kept saying over and over again, "For my good and your glory, Lord." And so it has been. And every day I wake up and I say, "Lord, my life is in your hands." And he's been with me and strengthened me and comforted me. The relationship that was forged in the fire of those unexpected seasons so many years ago has remained all these years. So when April called and asked me if I would speak at this retreat, and she asked me to speak about unexpected seasons, I immediately started praying. And what came to me was two songs. And I'm so glad Karen brought up all those songs, because there's so many of the songs we sing are so based in Scripture. And I'm pretty sure most of you are probably going to be familiar with these songs. The first one is, "All Praise Be to the Rock." First verse, "Blessed are the people whose God is the Lord." Amen? Amen. "Blessed are those who trust in him." "Blessed are the people whose God is the Lord. All praise be to our God, the Rock." Make the Lord your Lord. Don't just give him lip service. Seek him, obey him, and make a practice of pleasing him. Remember years ago, there were these bracelets that came out. Everybody was wearing them everywhere. They became very popular. WWJD, which stands for?
What would Jesus do?
Amen. Well, you can wear those bracelets. But for a Christian, WWJD should become NYDI. What would Jesus do? Now you do it. Right? Amen. Chorus. "Mighty is he to tear down strongholds. Mighty is he to build a city. A great defender of the righteous. And everyone who will run to him." When you face an unexpected season, run to him. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Just run to him. Do not turn to psychology, philosophy, Dr. Phil, or your bank account. Because they will not provide you with answers and help. Run to the Lord. And I'm telling you, running to the Lord, there's no other answer. No other answer. All praise be to the Rock. All praise to his name. All praise to the Rock. He ever is the same. He never changes. He's always faithful. He's always good. He's always trustworthy. And so, worship is so important, because which one of you that shared talked about, was it you who talked about that image of him being high and we're down here? That perspective of looking up to him keeps us so focused and so on track. Thank you for sharing that. I'm gonna borrow that, okay? He is worthy of all. Our life, our worship, our obedience, our trust. He will never leave you or forsake you. He is always there for you. So give him your worship. Lift him high. I'm telling you, I can be so down. And usually I'm a pretty joyful person. But, you get down now and then. You have moments. But if you worship, your perspective changes from here to there. And it's so uplifting. He is so uplifting. So give him your worship. The second psalm that came to me is called "The Warrior is a Child." How many of you remember that song? Oh, It was written by Twyla Paris back in 1984. That's how old it is. Yeah, see how old we are? Yeah. Okay, so first verse. Lately, I've been winning battles left and right. But even winners can get wounded in the fight. People say that I'm amazing, strong beyond my years, but they don't see inside of me I'm hiding all the tears. Often, what people see on the outside is not what's going on the inside. They, you know, I can't tell you how many people say to me, "You're just amazing how you've been going through this." Well, they don't see me when I'm crying at home by myself. But I'm crying to Jesus. I take it to him. It's not that I can't cry. I mean, I'm crying right now. It's not that I can't cry in front of other people, but, you know, Jesus is the one that I want to run to. So they don't know that I go running home when I fall down. They don't know who picks me up when no one is around. I drop my sword and cry for just a while. Because deep inside this armor, the warrior is a child. Again, the whole idea of running to the Lord. The fact that it's okay to cry when we're upset, please cry. The Bible says, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." Right? There's a time to weep. There's a time to rejoice. There's a time. That passage in Ecclesiastes, "To everything turn to," you know that one, old song, not even a Christian song. It's not a weakness to cry and take our grief and fears to the Lord. That is a strength. Amen? Next verse, unafraid because his armor is the best. But even soldiers need a quiet place to rest. People say that I'm amazing, never face defeat, but they don't see the enemies that lay me at his feet. Remember that God's armor is the best. Soldiers need rest. You know, I've stepped back. You know, in our spiritual, we kind of call it our spiritual DNA, the Abbott loop thing. When one leader is gone, like Dick Benjamin, when he turned Abbott Loop over to Rick, his son, what did Dick and Carol do? They moved away so that Rick could be the leader. Because if they had stayed, people would have kept looking to Dick because they were so used to looking to Dick. So he and Carol moved to Seattle, I think it was, somewhere in Washington State. And for a time, not the rest of their lives, but for a time, they moved to Washington and gave Rick a chance to take over leadership of that church. Now, at our church, Mike is gone, and I have stepped back. My husband is gone. My pastor is gone. And I needed to give the new leadership their reins. I, not that I had any control, it was, but I want, not only do I want to follow them, I want to support and encourage them. And I didn't want my voice or my disagreement or my concerns to cloud what the Lord was saying to them. So I backed off. This soldier needed some rest. And I, you know, they needed me to step back. And now Donna is our pastor's wife. And I couldn't ask for a better pastor's wife. She's a lot like Ruth Martin. Now, others may or may not see or recognize the enemies that we face. Our enemies are often not even human. They can also be our own attitudes and our own fears, our own temptations. But those enemies should drive us to run to the Lord too. They don't know that I go running home when I fall down. They don't know who picks me up when no one is around. I drop my sword and look up for a smile. Because deep inside this armor, the warrior is a child. And I love the idea of dropping my sword. Just let go. Let go of the battle. It's God's battle. Let go. Looking up to the Lord for a smile. You know, I really hope that my life brings a smile to the face of my Lord. I hope he can look at my life and be pleased with it. And I often think of that, even during my struggles, because you learn so much. One day, after teaching his disciples many things, Jesus was warning some of them of some of the things that were about to happen. And he closed with this statement from John 16:33. I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. Amen. For many years, I had that scripture in large print hanging up in my home where I could see it multiple times every day. It was a walk right by my bathroom, to be honest. Walking back and forth in my hallway, I saw it all the time. I needed that reminder right before my eyes. You know, I'm really not good about remembering where things are. I remember what the Bible says, but I don't remember the chapter and verse, you know, the reference. But there's a place where it says, write these things down and put them on the doorposts of your house. I encourage you to do that. Write down scriptures. Put them up on your walls so you can see them. It's so encouraging. Now, many, many years ago, there were two Christian women. And for some reason, they bought bikes and they were biking together. And so they were in this one neighborhood, and suddenly this group of dogs came and were nipping. They were coming after them, nipping at them. And the one lady was cursing. She started cursing, blah, 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 get away from me, you know. Wouldn't repeat what she said. The other woman, here's what she said. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. She cried out to Jesus in that moment. And you know, one of the principles the Lord taught me, I think Bree talked about a scripture that God uses to check her heart, to make her check her own heart, basically. I have one too. It's out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Yeah. Early on, when my kids were young, the Lord showed me that if there were certain things coming out of my heart, you could tell something's wrong in my heart. If this is coming out of my mouth, something's wrong in here. If Jesus, Jesus, Jesus is coming out of my heart, that's a good sign. Okay? So that might be something to consider, to evaluate your own heart. And if you have foul things or negative things coming out of your mouth, go to the Lord and say, Lord, what's going on in my heart? Will you please show me? Will you please adjust me? Will you please teach me your way? Because I'm basically standing here before you, a Martha, who is continually learning to be more of a Mary. Right? Anybody else like that in here? Continually. So no matter what pain or grief or sorrow or sickness or disappointment we have in this life, Jesus offers us his power, his presence. He offers us himself to overcome them because he has overcome the world. And my testimony is that he is enough. He's more than enough. Hebrews 11 describes faith like this. It's confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. So in my experience, I'm 70 years old. I got saved when I was 27. No, wait, 23. 23. And all these years, you know, I was telling somebody yesterday the song we sing, The Goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. That means a lot more when you're 70 than it does when you're 22. It means a lot. It is the truth. All my life, he has been faithful. And so in my experience, this walk of faith, believing in things I can't see, trusting what I can't see, I can no longer say that I haven't seen. I can no longer say that I haven't experienced the truth of those things. Because Jesus has proven to me over and over and over again that I can trust him. Again and again and again. And he's not done with any of us. So, let's pray. Lord, we're so, so grateful to you for your love, for the fact that you saved us from our own sin, from our own blindness, from our own tendencies, Lord. You have redeemed us. You've paid the price for us. And you didn't just stop there. You continue to build and teach and minister and comfort. We're so grateful, Lord, for your presence, for your care, for your leadership. Help us, Lord, to be obedient, pleasing daughters. Help us to live our lives in a way that brings a smile to your face and joy to your heart. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.